Hey, Dr. Randy Carlson here. Come on in to the Intentional Living Center today. Bart Millard is going to be joining me in a moment. He's the lead singer for Mercy Me and the brand new movie coming out about his life. And I've seen it, and it's a worthwhile experience. But this show today is going to be worthwhile because you're going to hear his story, and you're going to be reminded of the importance of encouraging your family. Maybe you didn't receive that yourself, but how important it is as grandparents and parents to encourage our kids and grandkids. So don't go away. Got a great half hour ahead from Intentional Living.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Call now, 1-888-888-1717. That's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your family, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I have in front of me here that we printed off from the website here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sheets of paper in small type with a list of verse after verse after verse in the New Testament that talks about the power of encouragement. I was reading the other day that the word godliness, there's only like 14 references to godliness in the New Testament, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of references to encouragement. We think about what is encouragement. When you look at the word, if you dissect the word encouragement and you take those first two letters, the E-N, and the root of that comes, it means to make or to put in. And then, of course, the last part of the word is courage, right? It means to put in courage. That's what encouragement is. And I think in our culture, we've kind of dumbed it down to be a pat on the back, good job, you know, appreciation. Now, that may feel a little encouraging, but there's something about the word encouragement that God intends for us, and why I think it's referenced so often in the New Testament, is that we are encouraged to put in courage, to make strong. That's really what it means. Encouragement is to make strong. And so when we read a verse like 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing, you could say, therefore, put in strength, or to make strong. And we're going to talk about how do you do that. Here's the question. When you were growing up, who helped put in courage into your life? That's really what encouragement is. Who put the courage in? The words that were said in your family. And in turn, what kind of encouragement is going into your family today? The phone line is open. The number is 888-888-1717. And I want you to call quickly because we're just a half hour here, live from our Intentional Living Center every day. But before we get to the calls, you know, when we talk about encouragement, let's look at the opposite of this, discouragement. When you take the word discouragement and you take that little prefix, D-I-S, that means this means to have a resisting force or to take away. In other words, when you're encouraging one another, you're putting in courage. When you're discouraging, you're taking away courage. That's really what it means. And how many of you can relate to that? When you think about it, you were cut off at the knees as a child in terms of building courage in your life because there was a lack of encouragement. And if indeed encouragement is an affirmation more than appreciation, and I think about that, that's really what encouragement is. It's an affirmation that our faith matters. That's really a big part of what our mission here is all about, to affirm your faith. It's one of the three kind of pillars that we stand on here at our ministry. And we do that by sharing God's promises within our family. We do that through the process of forgiveness. We do that through speaking into the life of one another. And I think about myself when I was a boy, and my dad was still alive. I could still remember, though, going back, that he would say, you know, Randy, I'm proud of you. Now, that's encouragement. That's building courage when someone says, I'm proud of you. Now, you say you're proud when you're actually proud, right? When you're actually proud of your son or you're actually proud of your daughter, you're proud of the choices they're making, you're proud of the decisions that they're making, you're proud of the kind of life they're choosing to live, say it. You speak courage into their life. I can remember my dad often saying, you can do it. You know, you can do it. There's a sense of building courage into the life of your children when you speak that kind of positive affirmation, when you give them a picture of the future, when you give them a hope and a future in terms of your own heart for them, when you remind them of their unique gifts, when you pray daily for their future, for their career, for their future spouse, for their life choices. And so the question is, how are you encouraged? Or how are you encouraging your children and your family today intentionally? Phone lines open. Let's do this. 888-888-1717 is the number. Plus, Bart Millard from Mercy Me joins us next.
This is in regard to the lady that chose to follow her husband and to lift him up. I'm a husband that has a wife like that, and from my point of view, it works. It makes me want to love my wife a lot more, knowing that she stands behind me, behind my decisions. Not that she can't override me sometimes, but most of the time she sticks with my decisions with the children and all, and that just makes me want to love her even more.
There you go. Expressing encouragement in your marriage, that's a part of it, isn't it? Let's go to Tammy, who's listening in Arizona today. Hey, Tammy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Tell me about encouragement in your family.
When I was growing up, my parents did not encourage me at all. I think the most positive thing that I heard from them was my father. I was the youngest of three. He said, at least we got one smart one.
Wow.
Out of the family. And it was terrible because I always tried to overachieve to receive that encouragement.
Now, so was it openly discouraging or was it just a lack of anything?
Just a lack of anything. And when I had my son, I became a single mom, and I just decided to go the opposite direction, and I always found something encouraging to say to him about his individuality, about his any schoolwork that he did. And my son's now 19 in college. I'm very proud of him, but it made a difference in his life.
So what kind of things would you say?
I would leave notes in his lunch and just encourage him to have a good day. My parents were not Christian, and I was, am. So I would also do things like when he would do a writing project or do something in sports in school, I was always there. You know, giving his friends rides also and remaining positive around them.
Sounds like you've done a good job. You were very intentional in saying, look at the things that I didn't receive when I was a child, and I choose to be different now as an adult. Seems to me you need a little encouragement, too. Sounds like you've done a good job. You've worked hard at it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a caregiver for my mom right now, and she's 80, and I'm trying to encourage her.
Wow.
Now, and the roles are reversed.
I was going to say, you're giving her what she didn't give, but you'll never regret it.
No, I won't.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
What about you, and what kind of encouragement did you receive or didn't receive, and what are you doing in your family today? 888-888-1717 is the number. Plus, Bart Millard of Mercy Me joins us in about 5 minutes.
Our lines are still open. 1-888-888-1717. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Don't go away. Dr. Randy's got more to help you be intentional for your family. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. At Hope for Your Home, I'll show you how to have an intentional marriage. And my friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman, will help you become an intentional parent. Kevin?
At our upcoming conference, I'm going to show you how to stop power struggles in their tracks before they even start. How's that for a promise?
Hope for Your Home is this April in Albuquerque and Glendale. Register now at theintentionallife.com/marriage. That's theintentionallife.com/marriage.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you.
That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
Hey, as promised, Bart Millard's with me here at the Intentional Living Center. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. You know, as we get an opportunity to hear from folks who are living life every day and living intentionally, certainly Bart Millard would be in that category. Bart is the lead singer with Mercy Me. You hear them a lot on our network, Family Life Radio, and around the country and around the world. But boy, he's got quite a story, and I had a chance to see it in the brand new movie coming out called I Can Only Imagine. You got it? That's a song title as well. Bart, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. You know, songs are written by people and out of life experiences. And I guess I'd be interested as we think about the writing of the music. And one of the things that comes through in the movie is that, as I was picking up on it, you were kind of looking for a song. And there was a need to find a song. But it seems as though this song found you. And I guess the question is, how do you know the difference between finding a song and looking for a song?
Yeah, I think, you know, just early on, like when you feel called to be in music and there's a party that wants it so badly, you just do everything you can to make ends meet. And yeah, at the time we would, you know, what was paying the bills was doing church camps and singing Lord, I Lift Your Name on High and all these cover songs, just doing worship songs that's what everybody wanted to hear. And so, even taking the risk to write music on your own is a scary thing. It's a very insecure thing to kind of, like having children, just throwing them out there and hoping people like them almost. And so it's easy to kind of do the cover tune thing and songs that are tested and popular. And then you find yourself just trying to, if you're not careful, you'll start trying to be all things to all people instead of what you were meant to be. You're just trying to learn what your identity is. And so that was kind of, you know, we were trying to manufacture something instead of stopping and asking, like, wait, what, you know, who are we? Like, you know, like, what's the kind of music that makes our heart dance and like that we are excited about, instead of like, I need to be just like this yeah, or this. And so, you know, it's easier said than done, but, you know, Imagine was not me sitting down, you know, in another attempt to manufacture something. It was in a moment in the middle of the night on a bus of just, you know, just heartbroken and just, you know, for once, just writing about what's on my heart with you know, other people and what people follow the song never crossed my mind during that process. It's just being incredibly vulnerable and transparent, which ironically is the thing that, you know, when people see that in you, it's when they'll follow you probably the most and pay attention, is when you're being transparent. And it's a, you know, it's sometimes something you got to learn the hard way, I guess.
And I guess that I imagine that was a real turning point, not only professionally, and obviously it became, you know, a world famous song, but also in your own life. And one of the things that came through in the movie, I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but one of the things I saw in your movie, which was very powerful, by the way, was, you know, leaving your home. You had a relationship with your dad that he was abusive. I guess the question I'd ask, because intentional living is about, you know, pursuing a goal that honors Christ, developing habits. At the time, Bart, were you more drawn toward a goal? Did you have this goal, this kind of driving desire to do music? Or was it more like you were escaping from your home toward trying to find something?
I would say it's certainly a little bit of both. It's certainly when you are living like that, there's a tendency to be willing to take a little more risk just to get out. There's such a sense of hopelessness throughout my childhood that I kind of developed a vivid imagination and just as an escape. And I remember being, you know, 10, 11 years old and like just without batting an eye telling people that I was going to be an astronaut and that NASA had already called me because I'm so good at it. And I was like just making stuff up. And you're like, oh, really? Like, yeah. And just all this stuff that was, you know, my imagination was always better than real life. And so, you know, yeah, there was the willingness to take the risk, so to speak. And, you know, and not to mention by the time I'm 19, 20 years old, like I had a very real calling in my life, like felt called to be a ministry in some way, shape or form. I didn't know what it looked like. I thought I might be a youth minister because saying you're going to be a Christian recording artist was kind of that's silly. And maybe a choir director, worship leader in a church, but not that. And so I just knew I'd be in ministry somehow. And so that was enough to say, you know, this is what God's called me to do. I'm going to, you know, take the risk to get involved and stuff. And it was during that time of thinking I was a youth minister and, you know, freshman, sophomore year in college to where I started working with a praise band in that youth group and fell in love with working with a live band and like, oh no, like I really did think, oh no, because this is what I really want to do. And this does not pay the bill. So this is not good, but it's what I love. And so, yeah, there was definitely a willingness to take a risk but at the same time, that willingness probably wouldn't have been there if I didn't have such a strong desire to escape, you know, so many things in my early life.
And that comes through in the movie. By the way, Bart Miller's my guest here. We're talking about a brand new movie just coming out. If you haven't seen it, plan to do so. It's excellent. I Can Only Imagine, about the song, but really songs are written by people. It's about Bart, his relationship with his dad and his family. And, you know, Bart, one of the things, I wrote a book called Father Memories a number of years ago, and we talked about the impact of our memories of our dads, and the memories of your dad sort of come through in this movie. When you think back on the memories of your dad, how have you been able to process that? I mean, in terms of letting go, growing beyond. I know so many people I've dealt with over the years that are stuck in the hurts, the pain, the difficulties with moms and dads. And it comes through, your dad came to Christ and so on. But in terms of you getting beyond that, what process did you go through?
It was definitely, I'm fortunate to have there's a redemption part to my story to where my dad went from being a monster to being like my hero and one of my best friends by the time he passed away. And that's very real. And I can tell you that without that, it feels almost it feels like it'd be impossible to tell the story. I don't know if I can get through it, but you know, needless to say, there was a lot of unpacking what I went through as a kid that took place, you know, the last 6, 7, 8 years. And it was, I don't believe in coincidence, but it was kind of a coincidence from the standpoint of I was approached about them wanting to make a movie about 8 years ago. They said they heard me tell my story on stage and wanted to see if there was a movie there. And I was like, okay, whatever. But and just separate from that, my wife and I, we started going to grief counseling. Her brother was killed in a car accident in 04. And it's something that we never really dealt with. And it was really taking a toll on our marriage. And so we went in for that. And then all of a sudden just this godly counselor kind of showed me how much my child is connected to who I am and what I think I am, what I think of myself today. And so it wasn't really going in with that intention, but realized, man, it's all connected. Even the way I grieve has to do with that. And so I can say that without that, there would never be a moment where I could say, yes, I'm okay telling the story in a movie, but God, just his providence was all over it and already kind of set me off on that path. And I am a huge advocate of Christian counseling and therapy because, man, we were never meant to be isolated or go through this whole thing alone. And if you think you don't have issues, you might have some of the bigger issues around because we all have something to unpack and something to work through. And so, I couldn't have done it without the people that God surrounded me with.
You know, we teach here that we judge ourselves, Bart, by our intentions. We judge others by their actions. And it creates a real dynamic within marriages and families as we help people process what it means to be intentional, God's way, to be intentional with your faith. How are you intentional? What are some things that you do in your life, practical things that you would consider to be intentional living for yourself?
Man, for me as a father and a husband, we've become very intentional as far as, I used to stand on a pedestal and say, you know, there's got to be a balance between ministry and being a parent and a husband. And I have changed my mind on that. And now I would say there's no balance. Like being a husband and a father has to win every time. And so I've been very intentional about, you know, trying to make my family first from the standpoint of, man, we've moved from Dallas to Nashville and we cut our shows from about 140 a year down to 50 or 60 just so we can be home. And so there's been a lot of parts of my life that have been very intentional, just to, you know, one, just to send a message to my wife, who's probably heard me say, this time it's different, and has said, yeah, right, it's back to the same old, same old. And so it's just, it was time to say, look, you are more important than all of this. And for the first time I can say that, you know, we're sticking to it, and we're seeing just the, how amazing being a father and a husband and a marriage can be when you get your priorities straight.
Amen to that. What do you want people to take away from not only the song, but now the movie, I Can Only Imagine?
Man, I want people to, when they see it, to realize that their story's not over. As long as there's breath in their lungs, that the story's still being written. And you know, if you would ask me who was out of the reach of Christ, I would have said my dad a million times over, but here we are. And, you know, you may think there's people in your life that are hopeless, or maybe think that of yourself. And man, as long as our heart is beating, this story is still being written, and no one is out of the reach of Christ and his grace.
Amen to that. Like we say, we're not made by our memories. We make our memories, and we can see with God's help that those memories are changed, and how we perceive them and how we deal with them. And certainly that's true with Bart Millard, who's been my guest today here at the Intentional Living Center. Bart, my friend, listen, you have great travels. I hope the movie does well. We've enjoyed it. I encourage our listeners to get out and see it, and also read the book coming out, I Can Only Imagine, and appreciate what you're doing, my friend.
Great. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. Have you ever been around a child who's drawing a picture or doing a project, and all of a sudden they stop in frustration, and they want to tear up the picture or destroy whatever they're working on? You know, when you see that in children, especially young children, you know that you're dealing with a little perfectionist, a kid who's showing the signs that unless life's perfect, I'm not going to be handling it very well. Let me share with you the truth about perfectionism, and that is perfectionism is slow suicide. It really is. If you're looking for perfection, look toward Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one. You and I are destined for imperfection. So when your child is frustrated and he says, oh, this is no good, don't do what most parents say and say, now, Buford, why do you say that? That's a beautiful picture of whatever that is. No, it'd be much more prudent of you just to say, honey, I'm sorry you see it that way. Tell you the truth, I like it. Turn your back and walk away.
Well, that's Dr. Kevin Lehman. More wisdom for us here, and humor and insight. And he's going to bring all of that into our Hope for Your Home tour. Dr. Kevin Lehman and myself, our reunion tour, as I'm calling it. And we're taking this on the road. We're going to be, we meaning Kevin and I and our team, will be in Albuquerque, all across New Mexico. Come on to Albuquerque Saturday, April 7th at Hoffmantown Church. And then Glendale on Saturday, April 21st at Glendale Nazarene. And it's going to be Marriage and Parenting Conference. All the information is available online. Get your tickets early. Get them today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, you can find out a lot about the ministry. And also, in addition to getting the tickets for the conference, you can join in support of the ministry as well. And your support is vital. That's why we're here. We're a listener-supported ministry. Come and join us on as a monthly team member. As a monthly member, you know, as monthly members, you receive personalized teaching from me to you every month on CD that's recorded right here at our center to encourage you on your journey. You know, before we move on, I just want to share a couple of things. You know, today as we're looking at the power of encouragement in life, can I give you three things personally that I've seen in working with people over the years that can be powerfully encouraging in your family? At least that I've experienced this, maybe you have. When someone that you respect, you know, you got a parent or grandparent or even a sibling, but someone that you know that is important in your life, when they listen to you without interruption, that's a powerful thing. The Bible says that we're to be swift listeners, which means that we're to pay attention to people. When I feel heard, there's something about it. Even when they can't help me, at least they heard me. To be heard is such an important thing. Secondly is to speak to your family to your kids in particular, speak back to them the strengths that you see in their life. It's easy to speak to the things that you don't like. It's easy to focus on the weaknesses in life. But when you speak into the strengths that you see, I can remember when our kids would go to bed at night, I would make a point to speak into their lives the strength that I saw in their life for the future. That's positive. Some of you have never had that. It's life-changing. And then allow your kids to fail and be okay. It's okay. You know, pity the person that falls down, has no one to pick them up. Let your kids fail and then pick them back up with them to encourage them on their journey. I think that those are some things that can work in encouraging your family. All right. Well, Nancy's on the line from Michigan today. Nancy, how did your parents encourage you?
I was encouraged by both my mother and my father. My mother was the fourth child in a family of five, but she came along 10 years after her three older siblings. And my grandma always called her a nice surprise. And my dad was the ninth child out of 14 children.
How did they encourage you?
They encouraged me by always telling me, if I would say, I don't think I can do this, I can't do it, it's too hard. And my dad would say, how do you know it's too hard? You didn't even try yet. Come on, let's try and see if you can do that. So he would try with me, and of course, probably help me, you know, most of the time, but just kind of encourage me to keep trying. And I would be so surprised when I, you know, when I did it. And mother was the same way, and dad had health problems, so he was in the hospital a lot and actually died when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
But mother just kept up encouraging me, and they not only encouraged me, they encouraged my sister and my brother. My sister was 8 years older than I was, and my brother was 4 years older than me. And they, when they started going together, they were quite old. Well, to them, they were old. You know, in their family, everybody got married 17, 18, and they didn't get married until mom was 21 and dad was 26.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, and then they didn't have any children for 2 years. So by the time my sister came along, they were just thrilled to death to finally get a child. And my sister and I couldn't get over it because she had three kids in 4 years and I had four kids in 8 years.
Well, they spoke into your life. Nancy, I gotta move on, but thank you for your call. And Nancy reminds us, listen, when mom and dad are on the same page speaking encouragement at the life of children, let's not offset each other. We've heard today the power of encouragement. I think we've also been pulling back the covers on the destructive force of discouragement. Boy, that can really be destructive. Rob and Sally and Stephen, I'm Randy Carlson. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time right here from the Intentional Living Center.